This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Portrayed in the films of 2008. And then in our second hour, Queer Music Heritage. And it's a good look back at 2008 by J.D. Doyle, looking at his favorite albums of the year. Comments?
No. That was the previous week that we played twice. This week is movies and television.
Right.
Okay.
I love movies and television.
I do, too. There were a lot of good ones this year.
Did you watch The Golden Globes last night?
I did.
That was fabulous.
Not all of it, but I got part of it.
I mean, that's a gay event in itself.
Oh, yeah. Well, 24 started last night. It was a little difficult to, you know, tear myself away from Jack Bauer.
Well, I have to say that Heath Ledger won.
And saw that part of it.
Yes, and then the costume and the gowns were fabulous.
Ooh, God, there was some beautiful stuff that women were wearing.
But what was up with Drew Barrymore's hair? I'm sorry, it was crazy. You could have had a bird's nest in there.
Well, you know, they try to outdo one another, and most of the time they just sort of do one another.
She looked crazy last night. crazy 80s... child star grown up, to me.
Well, there was also some really bad clothes, too, that they should not have had on. Sometimes you're a little old to wear some of those things they had on.
I like the comment that was made about how Hollywood is growing older but looking younger.
Well, you know, if you've got enough money...
The wonders of Botox, right?
Botox... That's the easiest one of all. There's a lot more going on here, a little nipping and tucking.
Exactly.
They had to have a whole TV show about that.
Exactly. I'm very excited about the Academy Awards now.
Oh, really?
Because it's kind of the start of the award season.
So what else is going on?
Well, we had a really good meeting on Saturday at the community center with Tim Brookover sort of moderating it. It was basically what used to be called the Futures Meeting, but now it is a sort of just a gathering of community people, and it's open to everybody, to just talk about what's going on in the community. And it went on, believe it or not, for 4 hours. But it was really sort of interesting.
My butt was hurting.
Yes. Well, I mentioned to Tim that we need to take a break every so often. But talked about what's going on, things like the Film Festival, the Community Center.
We talked about a lot of different things.
It was very, very interesting, and we will probably be talking about some of those topics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get Ray Hill started again, and it's like a history lesson all over.
Well, luckily, he tired out about 2 hours into it. A couple of things that are coming up, and unfortunately, we won't be around to talk about it because we will be off the next 2 weeks for fundraising. They're doing some type of special programming. I'm not sure what. But one of them is coming up is this community meeting talking about doing an archival project. Not to step on the toes of the other organizations that are doing that now, but let's see how we can all work together.
Right, and I think the spirit of that is to capture what we have and digitize that.
Yes, yes.
And so to kind of create a record online or internet-based so that everybody can see it. And, you know, everything's paper-based, and that doesn't last forever, so there's a movement to capture that digitally.
And a week from tomorrow, of course, is inauguration, and the Montrose Counseling Center is basically opening up their big room on the first floor and having a projector showing the inauguration, and it's basically open to the public. It's a sort of a brown paper, you know, you bring your own stuff, refreshments, non-alcoholic, but
you can't do that there. I mean,
no. Well, they do have some events on the first floor where you can have beer and wine, but
right.
Not at this event because it's going to be, you know, early in the day.
Right, right.
So it's just basically come and go, and it is a lot of sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, this is a momentous occasion in our community, I think. So, you know, after 8 years of tyranny, now we're emerging from the darkness, I think.
So that's happening, and then there's a lot of other things starting to happen. We've got the AIDS Walk coming up on March 15th.
Yes, let me do a segue right there. This Wednesday is the AIDS Walk kickoff party, and that's being held at the Salud Winery on Montrose, 3939 Montrose. It is from 4:30 to 7:30, and Tart Cafe is providing the food. And if you haven't been to a AIDS Walk kickoff party, it's basically where you can go get your materials for your team, join a team, form a team, and have a good time and talk to everybody else and kind of have a festive time on Wednesday from 4:30 to 7:30 at Salud Winery.
Sounds like a really good idea. The applications for the parade are already up, and Pride has a new website, and it actually looks very nice.
I haven't looked at it.
It's very impressive. I'm actually a little bit envious of how well the applications look online.
Oh.
So that's we're gearing up towards that.
And for the athletically inclined, this Saturday is the Montrose Softball League's recruitment day. And basically the idea is for you to come out and kind of get your bearings if you haven't been part of the league and kind of have them place you and get some more information about the league. And that will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at T.C. Jester Park, 4201 West T.C. Jester. The website is MontroseSoftballLeague.com.
That would be probably near, like, 45th Street?
It's like, I think it's between 34th and 43rd. It's in, like, Oak Forest area, I believe.
Okay, and, of course, the Texas legislature starts tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, so yes. They'll be all sworn in and let the festivities begin.
And we expect, by the time we get on the air next time, possibly, that there might be an announcement for a mayor's race.
Oh.
But we'll wait and see for that.
That'll be interesting. Yes, it'll be that.
And maybe this person could eventually come on the show, maybe? And
I don't know. We'll have to check with our producers and all the powers to be if it's okay. Yes. We bring on one of the candidates. They may ask us to bring everybody on.
Well, as a open-minded liberal show, we would, of course, I'm sure.
Oh, well, absolutely. Absolutely. I would be. Yeah. I mean, we've got everybody covered sort of in the race, but they say there's going to be probably 7 or 8 people
running.
I've heard
there's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's sort of a free-for-all. We'll have all the libertarians, too, of course.
Yes,
And
it's a very exciting time, I think.
It's going to be good. Well, it's good because this is the first time there will, in Houston's history, we have, that I guess I know of, but Ray could answer that better, that we have an openly lesbian woman with all the credentials who can fulfill the office intending to run for mayor.
Stay tuned for more details.
Yes, if you don't know who this might be, then you have been sleepwalking for the last, what, 12 years?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, let's go to some music now, and we'll come back with our guest.
Change your mind, you better change it back or we will both be sorry. Don't you want me, baby? goodbye. Precious kisses, words that burn me. Love has never asked you why. Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry?
And a piano. Four poofs and a piano. Extreme 80s from the Screamin' Party Anthems album. Okay, so we're just having all kinds of technical problems tonight. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Hi, this is Jennifer Renee.
That was...
Yes. And we have on our, as our guest tonight... Jenny McNulty. She and Vicky Shaw will be performing on the 25th at Chances. And if you don't know where Chances is, shame on you. But, hey, how are you this evening?
I am doing very well. How are you?
I'm great. Tell us, I've got the some information in front of me, but I was excited. We did look at one of your clips, stand-up clips.
From your website, which was hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
About the red flag.
You know what? People seem to relate to that one. Out of all the things I do, they kind of like that one the best.
Oh, I understand it completely.
Right.
It's always there.
The red flag's hitting you in the face.
In the face.
And then the pole is hitting
you
in the
head.
Pole. Yeah.
And she's going to make me feel better now. Crazy, insane. But you've got a new DVD coming out, and that's part of what's going on here at Chances. You've got this release coming up. Well, tell us about that.
The release is actually of Vicky. So it's going to be a show with Vicky Shaw and myself. Vicky's coming back home to Houston. She's from there.
It's Vicky's release. Sorry,
Vicky's
sorry about
release,
that, guys.
It's quite all right. But it's we kind of... We're excited about the date because she has moved back, as you may or may not know. She was living in Rockford, Illinois for a while with Sergeant Patch, the infamous Sergeant Patch. She is now back in Houston, and we thought we would throw a big party, have a nice fun show, and then have a DVD release of her You Could Take the Girl Out of Texas DVD. So.
I love that. That's a great title.
Isn't it, though?
She is equally funny. I've seen her on Logo, and she's hilarious.
Oh, and she's a doll, too. Really super, super nice woman, so... A very fun show. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Well, you've been doing a great deal here recently. You entertained the troops. How was that received?
You know what? I had a blast. Those are some of the, if not, they're the most rewarding shows I've ever done. They're just such captive audience. Haha. No, but they are. No, they're so appreciative, and if you know, every person will come up to me and go, "Thanks for taking my mind off of where I'm at," which really makes, you know, I mean, it's what we do is nothing compared to what they're doing. But it feels like we're kind of helping out a little bit if it you know takes their mind off of where they're at. But,
oh yes.
Now, do you do your gay lesbian humor with them, or do you change it?
You
up?
Know what? I look like I joke in my show that I look a little bit gayer than Richard Simmons because I'm wearing rainbow everything. But I don't, unless, like, a couple times people would, I talk to the crowd a lot during my show, so sometimes, you know, they would say something and I would, you know, comment, well, you got a sister, or allude to it that way.
Right.
But I didn't do any out-and-out relationship material. They ask us not to be controversial, and that's really kind of not what we're there for. So
yeah.
I play on a women's football team, so I talk about that, and you can do a whole hour just making fun of the military and having a good time about where they're staying. And again, I like to play with the crowd a lot, so I do a lot of interaction. So instead, I can't change pronouns. I'm not going to do that or
right,
anything.
Right,
you like
shouldn't
them.
Have to.
Well, that's a struggle if you try to do that, too. And so when you're doing comedy, it's all about timing and what you're saying. And if you're
right,
trying
yeah.
to transpose pronouns, it never
yeah.
works.
Yeah. It would read false, too. I mean, the whole thing with comedy is whether or not the audience is aware of it, you know, it's a slight little hesitation on your part, and they, you know, pick up on that. And it's you know, comedy is all about truth.
Exactly.
Now, you've been doing a lot on Logo, haven't you?
Yeah, I do the one-night stand-up. I did one of those shows, and they air that quite a bit. And I do a video blog on AfterEllen.com, which is one part of Logo Online's thing. And it's a walking talk show. So instead of, because I like fitness and health and all that good stuff, instead of having a talk show where I sit and talk to people, I actually take a walk with them, and then we talk about, you know, whatever. Kind of like in that respect, it's like any other talk show. We plug whatever they're doing and show clips from their show and find out a little bit if they exercise or if they don't like exercise. We talk about that. So I'm trying to encourage people to download it and walk along with us and, you know, get a little bit of fitness in.
Now, I'm reading in your bio that you perform in Provincetown. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
I love Provincetown.
Do I.
You go there, like, are you there during the 4th of July, like the big week?
That's usually when I get there, is 4th of July week, yeah.
It's a crazy little gay village. I love it.
On the tip of the universe.
You know, and it's funny because the pilgrims landed there first. So my joke is that they landed there and they said, oh my God, this is way too gay, and so they left.
Moved up to Plymouth.
So, Jenny, how did you get involved with comedy? Did you just kind of grow up funny and decide, I'm going to be a comedian? Or how did that happen?
I always had wanted to do something in entertainment and whatnot, but I've always played sports, so I was never in theater because they kind of happen at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I was working in a research lab right out of college. I kind of got a job because my parents retired and I needed to work somewhere. And I was just working in an office with a guy who was very similar to me in personality, but older than I was, and going through a little bit of a midlife crisis, and I thought, geez, that's me in, like, you know, 10 or 20 years if I don't do something. So I went and I watched a few open mic nights, and there were some people there that looked like they lost a bet or something. Horrendous. So I thought, well, I could do at least that well. And because, you know, I'd always made my friends laugh, but then I was working in this research lab making, you know, doctors there laugh, and I thought, well, okay, maybe I am kind of funny then.
Yeah, if you can make them laugh, I think.
If you can make a doctor laugh.
A PhD laugh, you got some skills.
There you go.
Somehow I think doctors are just born serious.
Yeah, especially research doctors, because, you know, they're all, and this is a guy looking at growth hormone regulation in rodent brains. So really, how much fun is it?
Not very much.
Not something that you talk about at Starbucks on a regular basis.
Well, it depends on which Starbucks you're at.
Well, unless you're putting
That's
people
true.
To sleep.
Yeah. Exactly.
It gets your place moved up in line. You say, hey, hear about the new stereotypes they've got for the rat heads? It's great.
Okay. Oh, well, you've got so many bits that you do. Do you have one that's your favorite?
What's your killer routine?
Yeah, that may not be your favorite, though.
I mean,
her
the one
favorite,
that knocks them
there's
down.
There's always one that's, you know, oh, you love doing it, and when they ask you for it.
You know what? It kind of goes, like, usually when you've written something new, that's kind of like your pet, you know, you're for the moment, you know, where you kind of like that one. One that I just think is just cracks me up is just, and it's more of a visual one, really, but I'll try to get it across. It's just, you know, I'm a big sports fan, so I'm always watching cheerleaders on the sidelines. You know how cheerleaders always, like, spell stuff with their bodies? Like, they make a T, then they make an E out of their body.
Right,
know,
right.
Position.
Oh, yes.
So, it's so sorry for Chinese cheerleaders.
They're just extra limber.
You're right.
That's why their gymnastics teams are so good.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, the Chinese cheerleaders. Yeah. They, you know, just that could conjure up a whole story right there.
Now, Jenny, where did you grow up? Because I detect a certain accent.
Well, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, I was going to say Midwestern, so.
I lived in Minnesota. I like to say I lived there long enough to permanently elongate my vowels. And I feel really, really somewhat self-conscious being told I have an accent by people from Houston.
the whole world has an accent.
Well, we can tell the northerners from the southerners.
That's right. See, that's what, you know what it is about the southern accent, too, is you start to make fun of that, and then it sticks, and pretty soon you're talking that way, too. I think that's what happened. I think some guy a long time ago with a speech impediment went down there, and everybody started making fun of him, and now your whole style sounds like this.
Well, I know Vicky has a southern drawl.
Yes, she does.
Oh, yes. Well, how long have you known Vicky?
I met Vicky, I believe it was on an Olivia trip, probably about four or five years ago, and she's just one of my favorites. She's so funny and so nice, and I'm really looking forward to the trip with her.
Yeah, we've interviewed her before when she's been down here for some of her stand-up, so it was nice to see that the two of you are going to be together at Chances.
Yeah, we're going to do a stand-up. It'll be primarily a stand-up show, and then at the end, I haven't seen the space yet, so if the space permits, we're going to maybe do a couple of improv games, too, and that's always fun. When you kind of like, whose line is it anyway?
Yes.
Silly little games.
I think that's the highest level of comedy, is being able to do improv on the spot.
Yeah.
Because that's hilarious if you get it done right.
Exactly. That's the big if, though.
That was what I was about to say. A good improv that actually entertains?
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very hard to do.
It is hard, but it's fun.
But that's when you have the skills and the technique, I think.
Well, probably one of the greatest was Jonathan Winters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he did whole shows just on improv.
Now, Jenny, have you been to Houston before?
I have. I have worked several times at Danny's Comedy Showcase.
Mm-hmm.
On Fuquay there, and I love Houston, actually.
And you actually pronounced that correctly.
Thank you.
We have several words in Houston that are hard to pronounce unless you're from here.
Right. NASA.
Right. Of course, we'll have to take you to the George Bush Plantation while you're here.
Oh, gee, thanks. Oh. I do like the Memorial Parkway there. Where is it? What's the name of that? And is it Memorial Park? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Memorial Park, yes.
Where it goes through the park? The drive that goes through the park, or the one that goes through the Herman Park?
I don't know. The one's got the nice big, like, 3-mile path around it that people walk and jog and golf course.
Yeah, that's it. That's Memorial Park.
I can't tell you how many times I've driven around and almost had a wreck because there's always these guys without their shirts, and I'm driving and I'm turning my head and I'm like, oh my gosh.
I like the girls myself.
Well,
yes, they're shorts.
There's something for everyone.
Okay. I remember playing football too.
Absolutely.
See, she and I have something in common. We both played football.
Absolutely.
She still does.
Yes.
I do.
You got it. How did you get into that?
I have wanted to play football since I was a baby. I mean, I was a baby and grew up watching football, and my parents both liked it, so I never even remember really learning the game. I just kind of always knew it, you know, and I was at Long Beach Pride about 6 years ago, and the team had a booth there, and I thought, oh, my God, that I'd never even heard of it. It's a full tackle league, and I thought, well, I'll go, and I'll throw the ball around for a day, and I'll have a lot of fun, and I'll get material out of it, and never dreaming I'd make the team, and 6 seasons later, I'm still playing.
Well, and for our listening audience, Jenny plays with the California Quake.
Your listening audience may include a few members of the Houston Energy who have a team. I don't know if they still have their team down there. They may be in a different league than we're in because there are a couple different leagues, but they've got a really nice team down there.
Well, I remember that they won a championship a few years ago.
They did, yes.
Yes.
And for gay men, noticing that, you know, a team won a championship, it had to be a big deal.
Well, that's like the Comets, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you lost your Comets.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
Who knows?
Well, we won't go into that.
Yes, exactly.
It was so much fun to go and just watch the girls. Oh, I miss it. Anyway, well, there will be some at Chances, though.
That's right. Let's hope. Let's hope we get a bunch of them there.
Is it just for this one night? Are you on a tour? What's the...
Vicky and I will be in Austin the Friday before that, and then we'll be in Houston on Saturday.
On Saturday, January 25th.
Sunday,
yeah. January 25th.
7 p.m. Right.
7 p.m. And for those of you who woke up out of a daze and don't know where Chances is, it's at 1100 Westheimer.
Oh, it's everybody knows.
You can't miss it. Well, if if you want to go see lesbian comics, you know where Chance is.
Follow the women.
Follow the beautiful women. Absolutely.
Follow the estrogen in the air.
There you go.
Well, that you'd be following me, too, you know that.
Well, I mean, just the concentration of estrogen will be very, very high that night.
Do you decorate also?
I am the total, yes, I decorate.
You are show tunes and everything?
I have the show tune gene. I got those little gay gene things. But
I
want to
go. A couple of those too. I got because I love Cher. She's just my all time favorite in the universe.
She's a universal GLBT icon, I think.
Yeah, but I love Bette Midler and Betty Davis. And we were talking about a Betty Davis movie. My friend went, you know what, Cher, Bette Midler, Betty Davis. You're not a dyke. You're a fag.
you're out there in kind of limbo land, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, at your performance, would guys be welcome?
Guys would not only be welcome, they would have a great time, because neither Vicky nor I make fun of, you know what I mean? We're not like man-bashing comics at all.
Because I'm kind of intimidated to walk in there. I don't know.
Don't be intimidated to walk in. You'll have so much fun.
You can go with me.
I'll go with you.
Yeah, Jennifer. See?
There you go. I'll protect you. I play football.
There you go.
And a little bit, when did you come out? We didn't even say anything about that.
You know what? I came out sort of late in life, and it took me a while to kind of figure it out. And then when I did, I was like, what the hell was the matter with me? I played football. My business card is a picture of me at 2 in a football helmet and shoulder pads. And, you know, I had crushes on all my, you know, high school and junior high, you know, friends. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And being a good little Catholic girl I was a boy in the fantasy. So it was kind of... All right. So, but it took me forever to kind of go, oh, wait a minute here now.
maybe this is telling me something. I need to listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. I was journaling, actually, and I thought, what do I fear? I was journaling about fears, and I'm like, oh, I fear people think I'm gay. And I thought, all right, who thinks I'm gay? Me.
Oh.
So then I just, my sister is gay also. So,
oh, really?
Well, she was considered herself bi at the time, but it, so I kind of was talking to her about it. She's like, well, let's go to the bar then. So I was like,
well, let's
went to
see.
The bar and went, oh, I get it now. This all makes sense.
That was your aha moment.
It was.
Older sister or younger sister?
Older sister.
Older sister. Ah, you know, that's what happens. Those younger sisters.
Were there any boys in the family?
Nope.
Okay, so.
But she had been married at one point, so she's got kids, so I'm off the grand.
Oh, a breeder, huh?
Yes. Now gay breeder. There'll be no more breeding from her.
Do you have a family?
I do not. Well, I have my partner and I, but we don't have any children, no.
No.
Oh, God, no. They're really cute from afar. I like watching toddlers. They amuse me because they look like little drugs when they walk. They just sort of stagger and fall, and they don't get mad or anything. They just sort of get up and go, oh, I didn't like that. And they're just fun to watch, but from a distance.
Now, you have a website, right?
I do, yeah, JennyMcNulty.com.
We were spying on you before, and we were looking up some information. That's a good website.
Yes, Brian. Yeah, Brian has one of those fancy telephones that you can...
The iPhone.
Yes, the iPhone. Video on demand, so we demanded you.
Well, thank you.
Well, anything else you want to remind us of and tell us about?
Just come on out and see the show, girls and boys. You will love it. It's like I said, Vicky and neither of us pick on anybody. We talk, we talk to the crowd, but we don't man bash or pick on anyone. So just come on out. You'll have a great time. And Sunday night at 7 o'clock, be there.
That's at Chance's Bar. That's 1100 Westheimer. Here in Houston, if you may be another city. That's January 25th at 7 p.m.
And for all the football fans, it's the week between the championship and the Super Bowl.
Oh, my
God. There's no football that Sunday,
right.
So you got to come.
Yes.
What else are you going to do?
Right.
That's right. It's a dead weekend. You can get tickets at the door or at brownpapertickets.com. Or you can call at 877-278-4842. I want to thank you so much, Jenny, for coming in and visiting with us tonight.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, you guys, and I hope to see you at the show.
I'll grab Brian and we'll go.
Fantastic.
Heck yeah.
Thank you. This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just hours after California's Proposition 8 was approved by the voters, several lawsuits challenging its enforcement were filed with the state Supreme Court. The constitutional amendment that overturned marriage equality passed by a 52-48% margin on November 4th. The lawsuits asked the same court that ruled 4-3 to open civil marriage to same-gender couples to invalidate the measure. They argue that the state's constitution's equal protection provisions do not allow a simple majority to revoke the rights of a targeted minority. Reporter Dan Fritz was in the chambers of the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors this week when they voted to join the City of Los Angeles, Santa Clara County, and the City and County of San Francisco in the lawsuits challenging Proposition 8.
Opponents of gay marriage claim this is not a civil rights issue, and the majority has spoken against same-sex marriage. Catherine Lehman, racial justice director of the ACLU of Southern California, disagrees. She was at the Board of Supervisors meeting today.
It was really inspiring.
L.A. City Attorney Rocky Delgadillo was also there, along with his San Francisco counterpart, who both have filed suit with the state Supreme Court to have Prop 8 overturned.
In this nation and in this state, we amend our Constitution to extend rights, not strip them away. Proposition 8 flies in the face of the principle of equal protection and strips away fundamental rights.
The central issue in all the suits against Prop 8 is that the initiative effectively changes the Equal Protection Clause of the state constitution. According to Delgadillo and the other plaintiffs, which include the County of Santa Clara and now L.A. County, an amendment that requires a simple majority is not good enough to make major revisions to the constitution. But the state Supreme Court saw this argument before. Opponents of Prop 8 filed a petition with the court to have the state measure thrown off the ballot on the same grounds.
They declined to even hear that argument because the voters had not spoken yet. They figured that if the voters turned it down, then they wouldn't have to hear the argument because it would be moot. In this case, now it is ripe for them to hear, and we've now brought it directly to the California Supreme Court.
And the city attorney says it's important for city and county lawyers across the state to voice their opposition to Prop 8.
Officers of the court being connected to this lawsuit sends an important message to all involved that this is about justice.
Lehman at the ACLU says it was specifically important for L.A. County to stand up against the proposition.
Los Angeles County is the largest county in the state, and it's also a county in which Proposition 8 passed, according to the electorate. So it sends an important message to the court that this county is standing for the principle that the court is the arbiter of what the Constitution means.
Lehman relates to the fight for same-sex marriage through her own family's struggle for interracial marriage in the 60s.
My parents were married in Washington, D.C., rather than in Virginia, where my mother was raised. Because in 1966, Virginia still outlawed interracial marriage, my mother, who was black, could not at that time marry my father, who was white, in her home state. The United States Supreme Court outlawed race-based marriage restrictions the following year in Loving versus Virginia. And I was raised in the shadow of that decision and the Supreme Court decision in Brown that held that equal protection applies to all persons and that promised a new day of meaningful opportunity for people like me. I cannot imagine that this state would, through the tyranny of a majority vote, wipe away such fundamental constitutional protections.
Supervisors Zev Yaroslavsky, Gloria Molina, and Yvonne Burke, all Democrats, voted in favor of joining the lawsuit. The two Republican members, Don Kanavi and Mike Antonovich, were both absent for the vote. Antonovich had earlier stated he would not support the legal challenge, which he said should have been addressed prior to the election. Delgadillo says the state high court stays out of questions of constitutional conflict whenever possible. But now that the proposition has passed with a narrow majority, Delgadillo says the court will have to address the case.
We have been told that they want to act in an expeditious fashion. I'm hoping that that's something that will happen. When fundamental rights are taken away from any minority group, I believe it's important for us to act swiftly, thoughtfully, but swiftly, and do it right, and make sure that justice is served.
The California Supreme Court voted 4-3 in May that a state ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. That ruling effectively elevated sexual orientation to the constitutional status of race and gender. Plaintiffs in the current suit argued that protected status would be violated by the enactment of Proposition 8. I'm Dan Fritz.
the Asian Pacific American Legal Center, Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, Equal Justice Society, California NAACP, and the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund have also challenged Proposition 8 at the California Supreme Court. In a joint press release this week, they argued that minority communities cannot be stripped of their fundamental rights by a simple majority vote. Legal experts say it's hard to predict how the court will act. Even before they rule on the constitutionality of Proposition 8, they could order an immediate stay of its enforcement. That might allow lesbian and gay couples to once again get marriage licenses in the state. But high court justices who will be up for re-election may hesitate to overrule the popular vote. Chief Justice Ronald George participated in a conference on the role of the courts in Berkeley this week. Although the event was not related to the Prop 8 battle, the author of the court's May Marriage Equality Majority Opinion told reporters that the justices are keenly aware that we share with other state courts a vulnerability to forces that focus not on impartiality, but on whether judges, like office holders in our sister branches of government, should be responsive to majoritarian, political, or special interest preferences. If the court upholds the validity of Proposition 8, LGBT advocates promised their own initiative effort in 2010 to overturn it.
Have you checked our website for the latest This Way Out update? For a review of recent programming and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, just log on to www.thiswayout.org.
Violinist Paul Festa had an unusual idea for a movie. Apparition of the Eternal Church captures the responses of a select group of listeners to French Catholic composer Olivier Messiaen's work of the same name. Festa examines how people listen to music and how secular ears encounter sacred art. Some of those ears included literary critic Harold Bloom, filmmaker John Cameron Mitchell, actor-playwright Issa Davis, Broadway drag star Justin Bond, and Scissor's sister singer Animatronic. The film also caught the eye of This Way Out correspondent Dixie Treichel, who asked Festa how the concept was born.
My experience as a violin student at Juilliard, particularly my studies with a harpsichord virtuoso named Albert Fuller, provided the inspiration for this film. I came to him as a chamber music student, so I came with a piano trio, and we would play for him, and he would coach us. And then after our coaching was done, he would invite us over to his West Side studio, and we would listen to music late into the night, and we would talk about it, and it would be more accurate to say that Albert would talk, and we would listen. Mm-hmm. And the kind of stories that he told when we were listening to music, and the experience of having music essentially narrated or elucidated by someone whose imagination was as brilliant as Albert's and as operatic as Albert's, was a great part of my musical education. 10 years, actually, after I left Juilliard, when I first heard this piece by Messiaen, The Apparition of the Eternal Church, which is a 10-minute organ piece that Messiaen wrote when he was 24 years old. When I first heard it, I had this kind of out-of-body response, and my first thought was, when I was capable of thinking anything again, I thought, I have to play this for Albert Fuller. So I did, and I'm really not sure how I got the idea to put the camera on him while he was listening to the music through headphones, but that's what I did. His response was so wonderful. It really ran the gamut of emotion and experience and memory. And when it was through, I was inspired to just keep going and see if I could put together some sort of a film based on people's responses. 2 years later, I had about 115 interviews collected, and out of those interviews, the 31 make up the final film.
When these people were coming in to listen to this, did you give them any instructions prior, or did they just sit down and put the headphones on?
In the film itself, I show a few of the scenes where I'm telling people, it's like, well, this is sort of self-explanatory, do you know what you're going to do? And there was very little, actually, to tell them, because I told them nothing about what they were going to hear.
Okay.
I didn't want people to prepare or start telling me something rather involved about Messiaen or their experience listening. I didn't tell them that it was going to be Messiaen even as I put the music on, or that it was going to be organ music. All they knew was 10 minutes of music and that they should talk essentially through it. You know, it would be fine to take up to a half a minute to just sort of absorb at a time, but generally to try to keep articulating what was going on in their head as they were listening.
There is a path that the film provides for us, how people's emotions are changing with the piece.
Right. The most interesting responses to me were the people who had some kind of a breakthrough during the listening experience. It's the kind of music that's so overwhelming. It's aggressive, it's loud, it's often quite dissonant and uncompromising in various ways. Most music that we listen to, it really isn't emotional in that way. People are embarrassed by it, and people were put off by it because it was asking them to go someplace difficult and deep. So the most gratifying responses for me to watch and to play with later in the editing room were the ones that started off defensive, even dismissive, but at a certain point collapsed under the weight of all of that dramatic energy. And I think that in a certain sense the film does this too. I mean, there are a lot of laughs in the first 25 minutes of the film, and then at a certain point after people have really sort of dropped their defenses, the film does too, and there really aren't any more laughs after mm-hmm. that. Like, you just understand that we've just gone a little deeper, and that the thing that was so funny was really our own response. It wasn't the music itself.
Experiencing being in the same room where this particular music is actually being produced.
If I were in a cathedral listening to this, I would be crying hysterically. I would repent all my sins. God, save me! Save me! Save me from what I've done.
That length is what it feels like to be in that moment of, like, about to be killed, about to open a door. A man with giant horns and fire licking up around him greets you.
It's so emotional. It's like somebody whipping their head back, you know, in anticipation. Their hair, like, flying off their skull.
It's so sexy. It's just like, which I know is not what he means it to be, but that's the way I hear it.
I feel that some of the chords, not all of them, some of the more complicated ones, are attached to my spinal column in some way.
How long does it go on? It's making me very unhappy. 10 minutes of this?
It's going to be 10 minutes of this?
How many more minutes?
6 more minutes?
It's giving me a headache now.
Honey, I'm tired of listening to this.
The people in the film are people who walked into my apartment or whom I had studied with at one place or another, and I was able to get to sit down for this. In the sense that it was really just sort of my universe of people, then mm-hmm. that's accounted for the large queer quotient. One of the really interesting things to me about looking at the demographics of the group is that here's Messiaen, who's this towering figure, not just in music, but in French Catholicism. I mean, he was the musical voice of French Catholicism for more than half a century. And while French Catholicism isn't maybe the most doctrinaire form of the religion, it's the religion that gave us a number of very difficult responses from the Vatican about homosexuality particularly, and it's a kind of orthodoxy that a lot of us would find really hostile. And yet, when you look at the people in the film mm-hmm. whose response to the music is the most deeply felt, and the people who are the biggest Messiaen partisans, it's often like Jewish intellectuals and gay Jewish intellectuals. There really is a special resonance that some of us feel to this profoundly religious, devout music, even if we share, as Michael Warner, the queer English professor, says at some point in his interview, he says, even if we share none of the, what he calls meta-commentary, or just the religious beliefs that underlie the musical output.
There's also a book that's connected with it.
Yes, there is. I'm a big fan of director's commentaries, you know, not just about the film and the making of the film, but the music itself and the specific people that I'd interviewed. When someone's having a very emotional response, and particularly in this case when they're having an emotional response to a piece of music, and an emotion registers on their face, it's really lovely to see it on video. Mm-hmm. It's even better to see it slowed down in slow motion, which there's quite a bit of in the second half of the film. But
but it's really great to stop it in the still image. The book is full of these still images, in addition to the full transcript of the film, everything that they've said, and then the director's commentary underneath. Messiaen was born in 1908, so this year is his centenary, and there are concerts and centenary festivals and celebrations happening all over the world all year. The actual birthday is in the second week of December. So I'm fooling around with the film. I'm also have had the really great pleasure and privilege to give a number of regional premieres, including the U.S. premiere of a Messiaen violin piece that was just published last year. So I'll be playing that in Austin this fall at the Library of Congress as well, in conjunction with the screening of the film.
You can find out more about Paul Festa and his film Apparition of the Eternal Church at www.apparitionfilm.com. Thanks to Dixie Trichel for sharing her interview with us. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Rex Walker with Bill Kelly, Dan Fritz, Sherry Lund, and Dixie Trichel contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to postal mail CDs or cassettes of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on 2YOU Tamworth, New South Wales, KDHX St. Louis, Missouri, WORT Madison, Wisconsin, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
My father could use a little mercy now. Fruits of his labor falling right slowly on the ground. His work is almost over. It won't be long. He won't be around. I love my father. He could use some mercy now. My brother could use a little mercy now. He's a stranger to freedom. He's shackled to his fear and his doubt. The pain that he lives in, it's almost more than living will allow. I love my brother. He could use some mercy now. My church and my country could use a little mercy now. As they sink into a poison pit, it's gonna take forever to climb out. They carry the weight of the faithful who follow them down. Church and country, they could use some mercy now. Every living thing could use a little mercy now. Only the hand of grace can end the race. They're crying. I love life and life itself. Could you some mercy now?
Live at Pride Fest 2001. That was Something There Is by David Hall. And before that, Mercy Now by Mary Gaither. This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Something new there. That was Ginger Lay, Time to Move On. And by the way, Lay is spelled L-E-I-G-H in this instance. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Polinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Okay, being queer. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it.
Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and I'm J.D. Doyle. This time on Queer Music Heritage, things are going to be a little different. It's not only my 9th anniversary show, but as it's a January show, I thought I'd take a look back on 2008 and bring you the best of the year. Of course, this is my own brand of doing that. During the year, I do get to hear a large number of new CDs by GLBT artists, and therefore I have a lot to go through. So I've really little time for casual listening. But these are the ones that I found that time for, the ones I kept going back to and playing over and over. Yes, this is a very subjective list, and I didn't worry about trying to represent particular genres or so many boys and so many girls, but I do think I landed on quite a variety. Okay, back to the music. I started off with a very logical and very queer song, and that's part of the name. Queer Blues came from the album Gay Without Shame by Gay Adegbolola. That's the same song I used to start off my show last October when I was honored to feature an interview with Gay. And Gate recently wrote me that she's been nominated by the Blues Foundation for their annual awards in the category of Contemporary Blues Female Artist of the Year. That won't be announced until May, and she doubts she'll win, but says it's a testimony that the blues community embraced the message of her album. Next up is a Brooklyn artist named Jennifer O'Connor. This is her fourth full-length album since 2002, and she's currently touring with Amy Ray of the Indigo Girls. I picked the title track from her album, Here With Me.
Misery loves the cruel way that you speak to yourself. And I love the cool way you look at me. And we've got a lot of time to get this right. At least that's how I hope it's gonna be.
For the futures of his own, 'cause no pansy little homo boy is welcome in his home. And you don't have a thing to say, but nothing's gonna change that way.
life's rhapsody about the days when life was good. When a faggot's life stayed weeping in the closet like it should. His arrogance is growing and your dignity is small. The further that he pushes you, the further that you fall. If you don't have a thing to say, nothing's gonna change that way. So let him know you're here to stay. Here to stay. And maybe if the story turned as sharply as his jagged words, you'd see past his pride to the cost. Sound, you have to open up your mouth, say that enough is enough. So now you're telling Daddy about the way your world spins, how respect and permission are. Consequences down. So it's his to choose. It's love or lose. The clock is ticking now. And you don't have a thing to say, but nothing's gonna change that way. So let him know you're here to stay. Here to stay.
I followed Jennifer O'Connor with Phil Putnam, and I've become quite a fan of his over his last several albums. This one is called Casualties, and the track I played was Here to Stay. This next album came out so late in 2007 that I didn't even find out about it until January. I'm bending the rules and honoring it this year, and I love this album. It's the only musical to make the list, and it's already been off-Broadway and done in many productions around the country. It's called Bear the Musical, and that's B-A-R-E. But unfortunately, there's no nudity in the show. It's the characters that bear their souls. In particular, two closeted Catholic high school students named Jason and Peter. Jason is described as the handsome golden child of the senior class, and Peter is his clandestine boyfriend. I picked a song early in the plot called You and I, where Peter is leaving Mass and Jason catches up with him.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Lollipop, a puppy. How about a baseball bat? There's one in my pants. Oh, thank you. My mom, she said to never talk to strangers. So kisses out the question, then I'll take a chance. So where were you? Online, asleep, like half the congregation. So are we damned? Stayed awake as long as I could. Good Catholic, I say, we go fall asleep together. Do you? Should I bring my baseball bat? I think you should.
Jason,
you're a superstar, man.
Jason,
okay, they couldn't guard you.
Jason,
it's always the same.
No, let's duck in here and
Jason, have a date for prom yet?
Jason,
did you lose my number?
Jason,
this is all just a game. You and I, you take my hand, leaving me breathless. Take a look in these big blue eyes so you'll understand and know why we whisper in the hallways. I'll be with you always. Together, forever you and I. Tell me why I should try.
trust you when the girls all lust to touch you. Cause when I have you near me, I go out of my mind. You need help there.
You're cute.
And it's tough to argue with the hard on. Think that you could lend a hand here if I had the time.
Jason.
Peter, don't you worry.
Jason.
Cause I wouldn't leave you.
Jason.
Not even for Zach.
Go.
Hey, looking good, man.
Jason.
What we have is perfect.
Jason.
Then we'll tell my mother.
Jason.
Let's lay off the crack. You and I, you take my hand, leaving me breathless. Take a look in these big blue eyes so you'll understand. You know why we whisper in the hallways. I'll be with you always. Running together forever, you and I. There's something that I want to ask you. Don't say no, just hear me out. After school, they hold auditions, something just to think about. And
God, you said the same thing last year. You know acting's not my thing. Plus, I might go out for baseball, and I neither dance nor sing.
You have never mentioned baseball. You haven't played since we were 12. And as for acting's not my thing, it's obvious it's something else.
I don't act.
I think we're the best actors school has ever seen. Take a bow, and I'll go. Just a thought. Forget I brought it up.
Now think about tonight. When everything is right, we'll shut off all the lights. Cuddle in bed and see how far we get.
Is that supposed to shut me up?
Yes, sure. You and I, you take my hand, leaving me breathless. Take a look in these big blue eyes and you'll understand. And know why we whisper in hallways. I'll be with you always, running together. Miss me. Forever you and I.
You and I has sung by James Snyder and Matt Doyle from the album version of Bear the Musical. Jeff High School, with his band just going under the name High School, is the only artist to repeat from last January's Best of the Year show. He ably followed up last year's album, Soundtrack for an Aneurysm, with one called Clip-On Nose Ring. It covers a lot of subject matter, but I thought especially cool his song about a big, big love. It's called The Chubby Guy Song.
It's like Brad Pitt versus the Shoney's big boy. Some TV Brits here, 300 pounds of joy. Kindly put, you're a different kind of hunk. You're really built, but it's sort of like a tree trunk. You got a six pack, but it's hiding underneath a case of Budweiser and cheeseburgers big and but you're just that much more beautiful. You're just that much more beautiful. You're just that much more beautiful to me. Some of us like our fellas all super size. We don't want no kiss meal, we don't need no prize. Another Friday night, another broken bed. Another afterglow, another loaf of bread. Kinda heavy. Hell, you're really heavy, heavy, hon. A hairy half ton. Scary, big, fun, digging. But you're just that much more beautiful. You're just that much more beautiful. You're just that much more.
gonna climb that mountain? Well, I think I might. And maybe always through an eclair of happy days onto Javi. That's my hobby. Don't you know he's just that much more beautiful? He's just that much more beautiful. Much more beautiful to me.
That was High School from Clip-On Nose Ring. I was really impressed with the debut album by Milaj Lavon called The Movement, especially the song you're going to hear. Even before the full album came out, I featured the song on QMH when I did my special on gay hip-hop music in 2007. The song is called Gay Bash.
Spinning my face.
Gay Bash by Melange Lavon. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night, Sunday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And KPFT is in the middle of another pledge drive, and these are very important if you want to keep this kind of programming on the air. Accordingly, I've shortened the show a little bit to allow more time for pitching, and I've structured a break in the middle. Naturally, I had to make some cuts in the broadcast version of the show, and to hear the two artists I cut, well, you have to listen to my internet version, again at queermusicheritage.com. Actually, I'm using this to my advantage, as the two songs you won't hear on this radio version have what the FCC would consider language problems. Now, I hope that tempts you to visit my site to check them out. Those two artists are superb. Meanwhile, please give some attention to the folks in the studio.
Well, as J.D. mentioned, KPFT's Winter Pledge Drive is actually starting this coming weekend, January 17th, and it's going to run through February 1st. Phone volunteers, of course, are always welcome. The station is looking for phone volunteers, new people, to sign up, and there's some phone training available at convenient times on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday of this week. And, of course, community and student organizations are also welcome. And you can call in and sign up for becoming a phone volunteer. You can do that at 713-526-4000 during normal business hours, or you can email to volunteer@kpft.org.
Well, and originally JD's show was supposed to be on the fourth Monday of the month, but because we're going to be preempted during Marathon, that's why we're playing it tonight, and he had already done it with a sort of hole in the middle to do some fundraising. So since you won't be around the next 2 weeks, we are asking you if you would are able to pledge. You can go to kpft.org and pledge right now. Or you can pledge in the next two Mondays. You can pledge any time once the marathon starts. But we're asking you, if you were so inclined to pledge, to please mention our show, Queer Voices, so that we can get a little bit of credit for that, since we don't have to actually do any fundraising this cycle. You know, KPFT really doesn't like to do as much fundraising as we do, but it's a simple reality, especially now in these tough times.
You mentioned that we're going to be preempted for the next 2 weeks.
Yes, I mentioned we're going to be preempted for the next 2 weeks.
Okay, just wanted to make sure everybody understood.
That means we won't be on?
That we're going to be preempted for the next 2 weeks.
So I don't have to come up here?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
You can still come up here and volunteer.
Well, I might do that. We won't be on the air.
Our
next
listeners
Monday
will not,
or the following Monday. That'd be the 19th. Or the 26th?
The KPFT's fine programming will be on the air, but we will not be.
Jennifer's voice will not be on the air.
Oh.
And they were actually doing a training session earlier when we got here. It was pretty interesting.
I know.
And believe me, you could be, you know, they take all types of people. They don't discriminate.
Willing volunteers that
willing
care about KFT.
KPFT.
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 Do you know where you are?
No.
I don't know if you remember the first time you ever went into a radio station. I know I do. I thought it was pretty exciting, actually, even though I wasn't particularly doing it.
Were they doing Morse code at the time?
Yeah, that was a long time
ago. With the smoke signals and the dinosaurs in the background?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
All the caveman.
Yeah, was it all the ships at sea?
We had to put pieces of wood into the tubes to make them glow.
Yeah. Well, certainly I remember before FM.
Oh, well, I remember my first time was on After Hours.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, mine too.
That was so thrilling to
well,
be on.
Here anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah. That was thrilling. And to get an opportunity to be down here and volunteer at the station, mm-hmm. even if you can't donate money, you can donate your time. And it's important that we get behind the station. It's the only place you can come and listen to the extensive, diverse programming that we have here at KPFT, and especially Queer Voices. So, you know, take time to think about donating. You can either wait till next Monday or, well, actually it starts on, what, Saturday?
It starts on the 17th.
Yeah. All right, on the 17th.
Of course, you can call in and donate anytime you want.
Anytime you want to. And if, please, mention Queer Voices. Let us give us the credit for you listening and making the choice to pick up the phone and call. It's important.
You're voting when you pledge. You're saying, yes, you know, I support KPFT, but I support Queer Voices.
On KPFT.
Exactly.
So, and we need those votes.
Absolutely.
Well, and something like 70 or 80% of the money that keeps the station on the air comes directly from the public. We do not get any state funds here at KPFT, and there's very little bit federal funds left to keep public radio and public television on
the
air.
It all went to the banks.
Well, and you know, actually, what started all this public radio, actually Pacific was on before that, but the actual networking of public radio started under Johnson. Johnson set it up. So go to kpft.org and make a donation if you can.
Okay, and we're going to go back to now to J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage and his Best of 2008.
This is J.D. Doyle, and welcome back to the continuation of the Queer Music Heritage Show for January and my very, very subjective choices for the best GLBT albums of 2008. Another artist I've been a fan of for a long time is Scott Free, and I think his latest CD, called The Pink Album, A Pop Opera, is the masterpiece of his career. It'll be a tough one for him to follow, and I had a tough time picking which song to play from it. But settled on the track whose video got a lot of play on the Logo Network this past year. It's called Free. Yes, It's Only Natural, Baby, That I Would Fall in Love with a Guy Like You. That was Mike Ricard and his song Natural. Now, that song was originally released on Mike's 2004 CD, Stirred Not Shaken, but appeared again this year on an album that is perhaps an unusual choice for a Best of the Year show. It's a double CD, various artist compilation, and it's only the latest in a fine line of albums released by Greg Hudson and his Whoopi Bear music label. He's been terrifically supportive of GLBT artists and has created his own label to get the word out. The latest album is called GCD Global 2. Two because it's the second in a series and it features a whopping 39 tracks and artists from 14 different countries. An amazing compilation. The selections are heavily dance-oriented, but also include some surprises, like this artist from the UK named Matt Fischel. He's not released his own album yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I couldn't resist his song, When Boy Meets Boy.
I met Marcus sitting at the bar. He was the kind of guy you wanted to kiss. He had the most beautiful piercing eyes, and I want to be naughty with your lips. I'm sat staring at the skateboard scene, ska punk loving guy from Riley's. And as the rain came down on that Sunday night, he went in for the kill with a glint in his eyes. It's a beautiful thing when boy meets a boy. That was his opening line. It's really corny and it makes me laugh sometimes. It's a beautiful thing when boy meets a boy. That was the first thing he said. I just cringed and shook my head. Back to his apartment, hidden just behind the station. His walls were covered in posters of idols and rock stars who had died too young. I sat wondering what the hell I'm doing with the skateboard punk from Riley's. And just as I decide I should be making a move, he is standing in the doorway in his birthday suit. This line, it's kind of tragic, but it makes me laugh sometimes. It's a beautiful thing when boy meets a boy. If that was the first thing he said, to lose the mug sitting here in his bed. Oh, Marcus, what am I to do? I'm head over heels for you. Sleeping on his mattress with my number on his bedside table. I paid tribute with a little wink to River Phoenix hanging on the wall. As I'm walking in the rain with my head held high, my phone starts ringing. I saw him again another 7 times, and I still hold on to that opening line.
Official, and has the GCD Global 2 CD has two discs. Well, I shared with you two of its artists. Another new artist who made a big impression on me this year is Jake Walden, and I found his debut album, Alive and Screaming, hauntingly beautiful. People talk about what they call his velvet gravel voice, and I think that fits.
It takes a lot to love another, even more to set them free. Even whores can fall for someone. Maybe someday you'll fall for me. And there are times when I'm blind, other days the prophet's mine. We are masters of illusions as we shelter our desires. Well, I'm not trying to tell you where you ought to go. I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm just speaking from my heart. I'm just speaking from my heart. So come on, mothers of the young ones. Come on, fathers of the world. Tell them go and search for someone. Tell them one day return to me. Well, I'm not trying to tell you where you ought to go. I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm just speaking from my heart. Speaking from my heart.
Jake Walden and the song For Someone from his album Alive and Screaming. This next artist struck the public's fancy in 1986 when he won the TV competition Star Search with his, okay, let's admit it, very over-the-top version of Over the Rainbow. I loved it. It would make Patti LaBelle proud. He's Sam Harris, and he's had a long career, many albums, appearances on Broadway, television roles, etc., etc. His latest album, called Free, has a big range of material, from beautiful ballads to the title track, Free, which has an anthem quality to it. But of course, I picked the most lyrically gay song, and frankly, I never expected him to do such an out-of-the-closet song. It's a tribute to his partner, and the song is called He Is.
And I'm driving the fastest way home. There's a light in the window that's burning, the only fire that I've ever known. All the miles that I let come between us. Heart that
take seducer. And the years can slip quickly away. Oh, but now as I look to the future, all I can see is his face. Well, I don't wanna wake up some morning.
Again, Sam Harris from his album, Free. Before I close, I want to say that picking these 14 albums to showcase was difficult, because, of course, there are many more recordings from last year that I enjoy and admire, but only so many fit into an hour's show. And I want to mention that if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. And please check out my website at queermusicheritage.com. You can find links there to the sites of all the artists featured on this show. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage. Okay, the last song, and I doubt any of the artists on the show would want to follow her. She was just named one of Curve Magazine's 7 Entertainers of the Year for 2008, and she's been touring the country with her show packed full of singing and dancing. She's been dubbed the Dyke Diva, and she's living up to the title of her debut album, Living My Life Out Loud. She got a drag queen friend of hers named Sasha A. Mess to help out on this track. Here's Lori Michaels and Meet Me at the Party.
You want me? You got it? Without me?
Says there ain't no way she looks so fly. Guys wonder why, oh why. I never seem to look that deeply in their eyes. Don't care if it's wrong or right. I just came to strut my stuff and have a good time.
Let's party, y'all.
What's with all the fuss and your stank attitude? Ew. You want it
ho, hey, hey ho, we all know you are. Hey ho, ho, hey, everybody knows you're gay. Ho, hey, hey ho, meet me at the bar.
Hey!
Been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Walensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Walensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
90.1 KPFT Houston preempts its regular programming on Tuesday, January 13th and Thursday, January 15th for special programming. On Tuesday, KPFT broadcasts confirmation hearings for Hillary Clinton to the position of Secretary of State. On Thursday, KPFT broadcasts confirmation hearings for Eric Holder to the position of United States Attorney General. Hearings start at 9 a.m. and continue until completion. The regular 9 a.m. broadcast of Democracy Now! Will not be heard. Tune in at 6 p.m. to hear that day's program. Again, tune in on Tuesday for the confirmation hearings for Hillary Clinton to the position of Secretary of State, and on Thursday for confirmation hearings for Eric Holder for the post of United States Attorney General.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.